told you guys we were going to have a prophecy update, and that's what we are going to do. There is so much important stuff here, I am not going to delay. However, I am going to start off with a story. This is a PR24. Nomenclature Prosecutor 24. It is the baton that I carried for my years on law enforcement. It is approximately 24 inches, hence where it got its name. However, this thing, okay, it's a pain to carry around. You carried it on a ring, and it would constantly, especially if you were running, you were getting nailed in the knees with it. For those shorter stature, we'd have to get this add-on wheel so it wouldn't drag up against the ground and everything. So one of the things that the department said is, hey, what we're going to go to is a collapsible baton. A collapsible baton, something that you can go ahead and hold on to your side. That was the RCB baton. So, with this, made it very nice, just as effective as the PR24, however it is collapsible. So, you could have it, hold it right there on your side, and you didn't have to worry about it hitting you or anything, because quite honestly, this thing, it ended up in the we were required to keep it with us on patrol. But they didn't say where. So we'd stick it in our units up into the roll bar, and that's usually where it stayed until the end of the shift, and then we'd go ahead and clear out all of our gear. Now, why am I telling you this story? Because that RCB baton, I should have been issued that. However, I never was. 7 years before I retired, they were telling us, hey, we've already got all the funding approved. You're going to have this. This is a great training aid. It's going to be next to you. So after about 5 years, we went up. I was a training officer. We went up to the academy, and here the chief of training was there. And this was wonderful because it was a question-answer type of thing. So we asked him, hey, chief, are we ever going to get the RCB batons or what? And he goes, I just had a staff meeting with the commissioners. And I told them the same thing that I'm going to tell you guys right now, okay? We received the funding for all of the RCB batons. He goes, that was awesome. He goes, however, it's going to cost $7 million to train over 7,000 of you in order to do that. We haven't approved that yet. So when the commissioners asked us, hey, where are we in this process? Why don't our guys have the RCB batons? He said, commissioners, we are closer than we've ever been before. Now, even Chief Bernay recognized that was the most political answer he could ever give. Come on, we're closer than we've ever been before, right? Was it a true statement? Absolutely. However, that's what he went ahead and gave as an answer. We're closer than we've ever been before. A reading from Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things come to be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So the apostles came to Jesus, and he's telling them. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You know, there are prophets or those calling themselves the Messiah out there as we speak today. There's particularly one rabbi over in Israel. Here it is. He has supposedly performed miracles. He has this uncanny ability to go ahead and recite scripture. Look it up. But Jesus says, many will deceive, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is that something that we're experiencing right now? Right? All I need to say is one word, Ukraine, right? See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Let me say that again. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Are we going to go ahead and just have amazing times of wealth and prosperity in this country? I don't think so. And if we are closer than we've ever been before, then I believe that we need to grasp onto this, that we need to endure because we shall be saved. Verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So as I was preparing this message on prophecy, I opened up my browser in the morning, and what was the top news story that day? 6.4 earthquake hits Northern California. That was early, December 19th. Then the following day, I saw this as I was doing my research. Bay Area rattled by 3.3 magnitude earthquake right on the second day. So I went ahead and I logged into www.earthquake.usg.gov. Now, it's from the government, so you know we can trust it. Do you know how many earthquakes were recorded in that one 24-hour time period? There were over 69, just in that one period. And you're like, well, Adam, that was probably a lot of aftershocks and everything along those lines. So then I went ahead and I searched the entire world. There were over 600 earthquakes just in that one 24-hour period. However, so I'm excited about this, and I'm telling my beautiful wife, I'm like, honey, look at this. Look at all these earthquakes that are happening. This is end time prophecy right here. And she goes, wait a second, just hold your horses. She goes, you know what? What were the earthquakes like 10 years ago? So you can set up the parameters. So I went ahead and I did a search for that 24-hour period from December 19th to December 20th in 2010, how many do you think happened worldwide? Over 300. You see, don't just trust me. Run these yourself. We're seeing the frequency. We're seeing the increased severity of this. And this is just in one area that Jesus was just talking about in Matthew 24. But what I hope to give you today is some tests that you can bring with you to the New Year's Eve party, family gatherings, or workplaces, so that when people say, are you one of those conspiracy theory wackos? You can go ahead and read to them the scripture. You can give them 6 verifiable tests and prove to Aunt Gertrude at the next family gathering that we are closer than we've ever been. We're going to go ahead and we'll talk about the prophetic timeline so that you can plan when the rapture is coming. Okay, I'm just kidding. Besides, I've already got reservations on flight 777, and so do you if you've gone ahead and given your life to Jesus. Look, we are not going to do that today, all right? We're not going to go ahead and play the prediction game. Jesus goes on in Matthew 24 in verse 36, and he states, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So I think it's foolishness if we go ahead and we try to predict the day and the hour. But can we recognize the birth pangs and prepare for what is imminent? Absolutely, and amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes. So tonight, the title of today's message, End Times, We're Closer Than We've Ever Been Before. Would you pray with me? Precious Heavenly Father, there is so much amazing information that is here. So much important information that we can glean from your word. You didn't want us to go ahead and be ignorant or blind, Lord. Instead, you wanted us to see with open eyes. So I pray, Lord, that as we look at your scripture, as we look at some of these tests that are verifiable as far as the condition of this world today, I pray in my heart of hearts that this is something that each and every one of us takes passionately back home, takes to that next family gathering, takes to that person that questions, are we really in the end times? God, once again, I pray that if there's anything of you, I pray that you would etch it upon our hearts. But if it's of man, let it fall upon deaf ears. You know how much we love you. We thank you. We sing your praises, and it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. And all of God's precious people said, amen. Amen. So if we were just to go ahead and look at some of the recent events, you might be thinking, yeah, you know, things are pretty bad, but is this really what Jesus was just talking about here? Let me give you some statistics. Back in 2020 alone, Australia faced one of the worst fire seasons in history. Beginning in 2019, 47 million acres were destroyed. Fire killed over 34 people. President Trump was impeached unsuccessfully twice. There was a U.S. airstrike on January 3rd that killed a top Iranian general, Soleimani, and others at the Baghdad International Airport. There was the Kobe Bryant funeral out in Los Angeles, while Harvey Weinstein was being convicted of rape and sexual assault in New York. How many others do you think will be convicted out of that too? We'll see. COVID-19, anybody remember that? Of course, and we can expect COVID-20 and 21 and 23 and 24. But are we closer than we've ever been before? We've seen George Floyd incident occur. I remember the commentators on CNN as they said, yes, here I am down here and there's a fire going on. There's people looting the target. Yeah, I've never seen anything like this before. Now, are the police coming? Is the fire department coming? No, they're too scared to show up down here. This is pure lawlessness at its best. Pure lawlessness at its best. We've never seen anything like this before. And I didn't know what to think. I mean, the police weren't responding. The fire departments weren't. For 4 days straight, they didn't respond to a single call. Then finally, the National Guard comes in and they took care of business. Go Army. Turkey, Russia, Iran have been expanding their prominence in the Middle East. And if you're not on Amir Tafari's Telegram or Behold Israel, this is where I got a lot of this information from Pastor Mike Begoulet, who's one of the contributors. You need to be on that because that's situational awareness. That's boots on the ground for what's going on today. Now, the things that I just mentioned, that's just 2020. What about then January 6th of 2021 at the Capitol, we saw what actually happened. Not the dog and pony show that was put on for us by the January 6th commission. Now, my disclaimer, I wasn't at the Capitol, nor did I enter the Capitol, nor did I participate in jumping through any windows, all right? But we witnessed this on the news, and we saw the clips on the internet. We also witnessed the ex-Minnesota police officer, Derek Chauvin, being incarcerated. And now we have a new variant of COVID. Omicron, and then Megatron, and Decepticon, and Pokemon, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, if somebody cornered you and said, prove to me that we are in end times, if it was somebody at your workplace, if it was a New York City cab driver who asked you to do it, if Aunt Gertrude asked you at Thanksgiving or a family member at Christmas dinner, what would you say? You see, the case that many people are making is that we've had end time stuff like this going on for quite some time. For example, has anybody received the email, if you were born in 1900? Have any of you seen that? Okay, check this out. Let me read it to you. If you were born in 1900, on your 14th birthday, World War I starts and ends on your 18th birthday. 22 million people perish in that war. Later that year, the Spanish flu epidemic hits the planet and runs until your 20th birthday. 50 million people have died within those 2 years. Yes, 50 million. And by the way, all of these, I fact-checked these. This is truth. On your 29th birthday, if you were born in 1900, the Great Depression begins. Unemployment hits 25%. The world GDP drops 27% that runs until you're 33 years old. The country nearly collapses along with the world economy. If you were born in 1900, you see what some of the skeptics are trying to say here is that, hey, these end time scenarios, they've been around forever. And, you know, it comes and goes kind of a thing. Let me read on. When you turn 39, World War II starts. You aren't even over the hill. You don't even try to catch your breath. And on your 41st birthday, the United States is fully pulled into World War II. Between your 39th and your 45th birthday, 75 million people perished in the war. And that's World War II, just World War II. Smallpox was an epidemic until you were in your 40s, and it killed 300 million people during your lifetime. At age 50, the Korean War starts. 5 million more perish. From your birth until you're 55, you've dealt with the fear of the polio epidemic each summer. You experience friends and family contracting polio, and you're paralyzed, and they're paralyzed or even dying. Many people we know, we still know from this generation. My mom was one of them who dealt with that. And on during the Cold War, you live each day in fear of nuclear annihilation. On your 62nd birthday, you have the Cuban Missile Crisis, a tipping point in the Cold War. Life on the planet as we know it almost ended. When you turn 75, the Vietnam War finally ends and the email concludes. The New York City cabbie asks you, hey, snap ahead, prove to me that these are in the end times. I'm going to walk you through a list that if we're in the end times, there's a formula and it's verifiable. We can go ahead and we can test whether we are in fact in the end times biblically. I'm also going to be quoting some of the early church fathers who said and talked about the end times, as well as equipping you biblically and extra biblically around that first and second century time. Fair enough? All right. When you walk away from this sanctuary today, from his church, taking what you've garnered so far, I'm going to be able to have you sit down with that taxi driver, a New York guy, and you're going to be able to tell him specifically that, yes, we are in end times, despite the fact that the email that went out that said you were born, if you were born in 1900s, you're going to realize it's worse. It's much, much worse. So are we really in end times? This is the question. Well, let's take a look at several different tests. And if you're taking notes, make sure that you put this on your paper so that you can tear it out and then put it in your pocket with you. Make sure that you keep this with you. Oh, what do you know? I printed them out for you right here. I'm so easy on you guys. So, first, if we are in the end times, we have to pass the character rot test, which is our first point. Hold on to him, Thomas. The character rot test. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Starting in verse 1, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiven, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Does that not sound like our society right now? But Paul is saying to Timothy, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. The next few words in Greek, it has an A in front of it. So in other words, it means non. So disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. It means that they are non-obedient to their parents. It means that they are non-thankful, non-holy, non-loving, not forgiving. I am never going to forgive that person for what they did to me. As far as I'm concerned, they can rot in hell for the rest of their lives. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Mm-hmm. Nobody in here, of course. Have you ever, maybe you've said, you know what? Slanderers. The word for slanderer in Greek is diaboli. It's where we get our word diabolical. In other words, people that lie and emit false media, false teachings, or present themselves as one thing, they're really something else. That's slander. Could we say that politicians are involved in diabolical activity? Would it be extreme for me to say that some politicians are actually driven in their minds, in their actions, and their reactions by Satan himself? And they don't even know it? Without self-control, brutal. Brutal means literally like untamed, like a wild beast. The opposite, complete opposite of civilized. Despisers of good. Now, next it says pro in the Greek, which means they want to or they want to promote. Traitors. They want to be traitors. They want to go ahead and actually betray. They actually get a thrill out of betrayal. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You see, we don't need a list from being born in the 1900s for this. And why do you think the abortion industry is so prolific? You see, it because it gives people an out as far as the responsibility morally and practically and of living of self. Now, I know that each one of these items, some of these things, you know what? We've even done. And we're not even done yet. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Now, let me frame this. Because this is the first test and probably one of the longest ones. Because we see it so clearly. But you could say, growing up in the 1900s, you could see a lot of this as well, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to take a bunch of these benchmarks. And we are going to conclude, in fact, we are in the end times. We're going to hear it from the early church fathers. I told you that before, right? And then I want each and every one of you to make up your own mind. Hopefully then, you'll have the handout that I gave you in your pocket the next time that Aunt Gertrude asks you at the next Christmas party. Right now, every one of us, we can look at this list and hopefully we can say, or be honest enough to say, that we participated in a lot of these. The difference, though, is between you and a lot of the people that we spend time with, non-believers, is that you have said yes and received the precious gift of salvation from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus rescued you, and he put you in a different status. He continues to hone you and makes you more like him. I wouldn't want to become conceited or arrogant or isolated from the world and like have all of us start a holy club of prophecy community so that when you go ahead and you get into a taxi, that the taxi cab driver asks you and you're like, I don't know. Instead, I want you to pull out your list and say, here's a list of six things that I want to give to you. The first one is the character rot test. Now, have people actually read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Have them read it out loud. I'll bet you there are going to be non-believers that will go ahead and go, wow, the Bible actually says that? Well, you just read it. Yes, it actually says that. But unfortunately, I believe that we live in a headline society. We read the headline and we think that we know what the rest of the article is actually about. We watch a 30-second clip from TikTok or from the internet, and we get our information, and unfortunately what a lot of people think of as truth. But you see, so much of it are lies, straight from the pit of hell. When you open up God's truth, though, that is where you'll see truth. That is where you'll see power. That is where hearing and seeing with their own eyes, it will be very hard to combat. That is, unless their minds are already seared, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Right now, others will be accusing you, saying, well, you know, that wall that Trump built that was non-Christian, it blocked people out. Aren't we a Christian nation? Shouldn't we let everyone in? In other words, people are trying to fool you in treating this country like the church and then want to treat the church like our country. They're changing the rules. No longer am I swearing to uphold a constitution, but I'm swearing to uphold an interpretation of a constitution. And they want to use us as pawns in their twisted agenda. Do you see what's going on? And they're making it look godly. Oh, look at all these people. They deserve a place. Hey, how can you say that? Aren't you a pastor? You're a Christian. Shouldn't you want everybody welcome in this country? See, they forget about Romans 13:1 that says that there needs to be law and order that exists in any civilized society. Am I right? Amen. Yes. This list that you have on you right now, take this. And now let's look at the second point. The apostasy test. Point number two, the apostasy test. Apostasy. The abandonment or renunciation of a religion or political belief. Turn with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Latter times, some will depart from the faith. Not all, not you here, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Isn't it a doctrine of demons to deny that Jesus is, in fact, God? Isn't it a doctrine of demons to deny that hell even exists? Because that it doesn't exist, excuse me. Because then people have that form of spirituality walking around completely immune to what's going on or unaware. It's the ultimate deception. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Ah, there it is. Seared with a hot iron. You see, there's no way to make any of this work unless you sear your conscience with a hot iron and overtly say to yourself, I am not going to believe the truth. Instead, I'm going to believe a lie. Now, there's going to be a quick video that we're going to put on. I think this is very important. So if you would roll the bean footage for Mr. Sears, please.
This is my problem. I've been dreaming of becoming the top female swimmer for 1 year, but getting here wasn't easy. I first learned how to swim when I was 7 years old at Boy Scout camp. What might surprise you is I was actually a really slow swimmer at first and stayed a really slow swimmer through the first couple years of my collegiate career. Then I turned 23 and all of a sudden, I'm the best swimmer in the women's division. And I can't track exactly what changed.
Kill it. Thank you. Men can menstruate. Men can get pregnant. There are 119 different genders. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:27. America is an inherently racist country. Your mind, your conscience has to be seared in order to believe any of this garbage. And you're going to go through the holidays where people are going to think that you are one of those kooks. What are you going to do? Do you have your list? Do you have the scripture to walk somebody through graciously and articulately through the prophetic timeline? I hope you can. The apostasy test. And you know, we're seeing it in the churches as well as they move away from truth and reason. And we know this from 2 Thessalonians 2 that there will be massive apostasy from the truth itself and reason itself when the Antichrist comes. Now, I told you we were going to look at the early church fathers. We're going to look at one specifically, Irenaeus, who was an early church father who lived in the mid-100s. He wrote a book called Against Heresies. Against Heresies, in book number 5, you can read all about that book. There are many chapters where he talks about the end times. He talks about how things in the very latter days will increase and spike like a J curve. Think about these last 2 years and who's been in office. The price of gas, J curve. Illegal immigration, J curve. Food costs, J curve. Irenaeus said the nations at large will join together in their festive unity of evil, and they will sear their conscience. And he gives multiple quotes from the Bible. I've got another video that we're going to watch, about 4 or 5 minutes of this. And in this one, if I could set this up for you. Here it is, over in the UK, they have, it's equated to like our Olympics. It's called the 2022 Commonwealth Games, okay? However, look at these opening ceremonies. Watch what was being done.
Look at it. It's a night united, and all the nations are in front of it. One of the hosts was Joey Lissette, I think is his name. Of course, we got to have the LGBT agenda here, where he's dressed like, like a ballerina. And a picture I found of him right here, and I know BAB, it stands for something else, I'm sure, B-A-B. I don't have to, I can use my imagination. I know what it's supposed to mean, I'm sure. But I just think it's ironic that it says Bab for Babylon or Babel, and right under it is the golden calf. The golden calf. In this photo shoot of this comedian who's part of the LGBT lifestyle, he's one of the hosts of the show, because we gotta unite, right? Everybody's uniting together. Now listen to what they say. The announcer's going to tell you that this is the Tower of Babel. I'm not going to say it. Listen to the announcer.
That's him at the top of the tower. Birmingham's Tower of Babel, or Tower of Birmingham, if you like.
Did you hear it? Let's hear it again. Oh, let me go back to that. Listen.
That's him at the top of the tower. Birmingham's Tower of Babel, or Tower of Birmingham, if you like.
And this is mind-blowing. Like, they're literally saying, Tower of Babel, tonight united, all the nations of the world, we're celebrating this thing. Everybody's dancing, having a good time, listening to the music. This is biblical. We are going right back to biblical times. When it's at the sound of the music, bow down to the image. We're about to see that. We're literally about to see that. Look at this all-seeing eye at the top of the Tower of Babel. They are not hiding it anymore. Right in your face. What's up with the devil horns? Everybody turns around and does the devil horns as the camera pans around, and they're glowing in red flashing light, showing their devil horns. This is in your face, guys. Take no part in this. That's what this is about. It's about exposing darkness. I'm not watching this being entertained by this. I'm skimming through and finding blatant things to show you guys why we need to be separate from this world. Why God is saying, set no wicked thing before your eyes. He wants to protect us from this. Look at this. What are we seeing here? Well, we're seeing a golden bull, which is Baal, and people praying to it. Two women praying and another one sitting on top of the beast. There's a woman upon this beast. Don't you see that? There's a woman on top of the beast. Do you see the colors that are being shown, the lights that are shining on this beast? and on this woman. What colors are they? I'm not going to look. I used the eyedropper tool on Photoshop to pick the colors of these boxes right here. I'm not using my imagination and saying, oh, it looks like scarlet. It looks like purple. This is what is happening. The whole thing is orchestrated to paint her white outfit with the color of the lights. As you can see, she's wearing a white outfit, but it looks red because the lights are shining on it. So there is a woman literally dressed with purple and scarlet sitting upon a beast in front of a bunch of people who are wandering after the beast. Look what Revelation says. Revelation 17:4-6 says, and the woman was arrayed with purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations of the filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon. This is Babylon, the Tower of Babel, right? This is Revelation. Revelation is talking about the future. It's talking about now. And yet it's mentioning Babylon. And here we see an arena with the Tower of Babel and a woman dressed in purple and scarlet riding a beast. Is this not clicking? Like, I'm not just making this up. This is right here. She had upon her.
Is that crazy? Opening ceremonies over in England. You've got all the world that's coming around, and this is what they choose to go ahead and promote. This is what they go ahead. Just like he said, they're not hiding it anymore. And that's the thing that should be scary for each and every one of us, is the fact that evil is shoving it down our faces. Now, I encourage you, and I put some of the videos in at the bottom of your notes there. Watch the whole thing. It is eye-opening. There's another video that I'm not going to show tonight, but it's talking about replacing the Ten Commandments with, are you ready for this? The Ten Green Commandments. It was literally a ceremony that took place on November 13th. The Pope was there, major religions, religious leaders from many different faiths, Muslims, Hindus. They had what was called a prophetic call for climate justice and a ceremony of repentance. They literally took the Ten Commandments on what they believed to be Mount Sinai, the same place that Moses did, broke those Ten Commandments, and then went ahead and had two more tablets with the Ten Green Commandments on it. That video is on the bottom there. I encourage you, watch that. You see, Irenaeus talks about the Antichrist. He talks about the tribulation period. He talks about the lawlessness leading up to that point and how the church itself will exchange truth for the lie that can remain relevant, so that they can remain relevant with society at large. Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes. You see, it's shocking when you read that. Read Irenaeus. He was around in the 150-ish A.D. He was a disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John. That's pretty stinking close. Only two generations away from one of the original apostles. He was a premillennialist and a pre-tribulationist. And again, I encourage you, read through book number 5, chapter 29, specifically in section 1. And you can see that he wrote all about this. Do your homework. Be a Berean. Don't just take it, you know, because I'm standing up here, okay? Do your homework. Check these things out for yourself. Irenaeus predicted that the church and the world would defect from reason, sensibility, and truth, call evil good and good evil. Again, we're living through this. Be prepared for more apostasy, folks. Be prepared for your friends who used to go to church to say, hey, I no longer believe, in that. I'm having my doubts. I'm having a crisis of faith. How many of you have already heard somebody say something like that? I know I have. See, it's crazy. So many of us out there, unfortunately, we're going to see a lot more of it too. Next point, number 3, the lawlessness test. Now, we can't get the pictures to come up, but I went ahead and I Googled the George Floyd riots. You guys remember those, right? police cars on fire, overturned, BLM, right? Justice for George Floyd. Look, this isn't justice. And what were they called? Mostly peaceful protests. It was pure lawlessness. You know, the interesting thing about it is when I Googled, I typed in George Floyd riots. And these pictures came up under George Floyd protests. Look, I was on the riot control team, okay? I know the difference between a protest and a riot. These were not peaceful, mostly peaceful protests. Turn with me now, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to start off in verse 5. And in verse 5, it states, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." So Paul was saying to the Thessalonians, and can't you just imagine this, right? He in essence is going, look, we talked about the pre-tribulation rapture. You forgot. Oy vey, you're sick in the head or what? I told you these things. See, they thought that they were in the tribulation period. But they were wrong. You see, they had many false teachers in that day. In verse 6, it says, "And now know that, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time." Verse 7, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." In fact, the early church believed that there would be an increased lawlessness in the land, right close to the crescendo just before the tribulation. Jesus even said it in Matthew 24:12, remember? "And because lawlessness will abound." Now, bringing it back to Paul in Thessalonians, it says, "Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, from whom the Lord consumes with breath of his mouth and destroys with the brightness of his coming." Can you imagine that? I mean, just imagine this. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying that there is going to be the spirit of lawlessness that is going to increase, increase, increase. But there's something holding it back. It's like all of this pressure of this dam is going ahead, and then suddenly the dam is taken out of the way. Boom! And whoosh! Comes everything out. Lots and lots of lawlessness. And the Antichrist is going to milk it for everything that it's worth. What's holding it back? What's restraining the lawlessness? The Holy Spirit and the church. It's you and me, folks. This is what's holding it back. But then it says there will be a time of Jacob's trouble, which is called the tribulation in the first century. The tribulation has never been seen by human eyes. Remember this. Irenaeus, again, against heresies, in chapter 5, section 1, at the very end, he actually says the church is going to be rescued from it. We will all be taken out of the way. Why? Because we are going to be raptured. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes, yes. And again, don't just take it from me. Early church fathers said this. Hey, this guy lived in the hundreds AD. That's pretty good if you ask me. I'm just a 55-year-old white guy, gun-toting, Christ-loving, homophobe, xenophobe, and whatever else the woke society wants to go ahead and call me. But imagine, We're only on our third point. I hope you're paying attention. I hope you're seeing what we've written, what I've written down for you there. Because this is what you need to take to all your non-believing friends. You're going to read this. Have them read it out loud. We have financial fraud, don't we? We have a financial system building right now that will become the platform that will enable anything that needs to happen in the tribulation. We have Antifa, we have BLM, we have the riots all around the world. Hey, forget the United States. The riots that we have here, this is like, you know, entry level. This is like protest 101. You go over to like China or South America, or excuse me, not South America, Africa, okay? Now those are protests. That's like professionals 401. And look into this. Google some of these things. Drew Hernandez, he is a conservative reporter and journalist. He would go on to say he's never seen the level of lawlessness worldwide to the point that we have right now, where people are able to get away with murder. Get away with murder. Do you guys remember Chaz or Chomp or whatever it was that they called the autonomous zone up in Seattle, right? There were people killed there. They were murdered. Yet has anybody stood trial? Not a one. The church, indwelt by the Spirit of God, makes us care about these things in our flesh that our flesh would normally never even care about. The Spirit of God also gives us the conviction not to do the things that would destroy us. And so we call on the Spirit of God within this church, the Holy Spirit that indwells in each and every one of us who profess the name of Christ. So is there some hope? In the levels of finance, of education, of military, and our community, there are believers scattered all through every industry. The airline industry, even as late as some of the flights have been. Everywhere you're going to find good believers, even in politics. There are many good politicians out there, believers fighting for the gospel. They're fighting and they're holding back the lawlessness. But let's say you take the pilots, the military people, the financial people, the educators, the community people, all these that we have right now as a restraining force and influence in society, shaping the culture, holding back evil. Imagine we take each and every one of us out of the equation. Then the world will get what it really wants. This is entry-level lawlessness of what's going on right now. But this is also one of the signs. Shall we go on? Number four, that brings us to our fourth point, the scoffer test. Nah, you believe in the rapture. Oh, that's funny. You believe that Jesus is the only way to God and that all other religious systems are wrong. Oh, how arrogant you are. You believe that Jesus is going to come back a second time? Ha! Well, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read through verses 1 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Behold, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they will willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, aren't you glad that we're not going to be here for that? Which would you rather be destroyed? By a deluge of water? And drowned? Or struck down by fire? I'll take flight 777, please. You know, I've had people mock me in my face. I've had guns pointed at me. I've been spit on. By the way, the guy who spit on me, he had really bad breath. You could smell it in the spit. I got to keep you guys awake. The lawlessness of this and the scoffing that occurred. See, people view the gospel as a joke and the second coming. Even within the church, many churches, it's considered a joke. You will be scoffed at. And this is only going to get worse. You're going to get scoffed at by family and friends if you haven't already. But if you say, hey, you know what? Before you go ahead and judge me, would you be willing to entertain, just read a passage of scripture out loud? Just entertain me. Read this passage. You'll be surprised what happens when a non-believer or a scoffer reads the Bible. Something weird happens. See, the Spirit of God starts to do its work, and you can see them, like, you know, kind of short-circuiting and everything. But seriously, right? The Word of God is very powerful. Let the Word of God do the heavy lifting. Are you with me? Yes, okay. Then, just to let you know, I'm going to give each and every one of you an assignment. At the end, you're not going to like this assignment. Which brings me to our fifth point. The assembly of a one-world government test. One-world government test. Turn with me now to Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Written many, many moons ago. Look what it says. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. You see, there has always been in human history this human urge, the flesh of man, the best of man, to make a great name for themselves. Resistant of God because they don't want accountability. They don't want a moral structure. They don't want an ethical structure outside of what they invent for themselves. This is as old as dirt. Little do they know that they're on the fast track to hell and all other kinds of issues. Let's go ahead and take a look at history. Alexander the Great conquers the known world in the 300s. God bless you. God bless you. And there's nothing more for him to conquer. He wanted a one-world government under the unbelievably great government of the Greece, where people would come, where they would have amphitheaters, they would speak the same language, eat this wonderful cuisine, and they would pay tribute to the emperor of this almighty and great culture of the Greeks. But Alexander the Great ended up drinking himself into a stupor. He was an alcoholic because he had nothing left to conquer by his 30s. Let's take a look at Augustus Caesar. Many years later, a Roman conquered the territory from Spain into France, Italy, England, and Rome, to Turkey, all of Europe. But he couldn't hold it together. It started to fray from the inside out. It rotted because they did not have clear moral and ethical structures that were enforced. And it was what the people wanted to do. Does this sound familiar? Adolf Hitler, many years later, thought that he could make the perfect society. He promised a 1,000-year reign of peace for the Third Reich. But instead, it only lasted 12 years. Get your Bibles open. I want you to see this. I'm not going to throw this up on the screen, but I want you to read this. Read from your Bibles. And this is something that I encourage you. Those of you that have phony Bibles that are on your phone and everything like that, I encourage you, please, bring your Bible. Go out. Get this page right here. I want you to mark it up. I want you to highlight it. I want you to write in the columns and on the sides and everything. And when there's no room for it, fold it up, buy yourself a new one, and get another one. And you know what you just did? You just gave a legacy to maybe your child or your grandchild. Hand it off to them. And they've got this living legacy of you and your passion for God. Coming back, Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. As you make your way there, this was the first attempt at a world, one world order. The very first attempt. Starting off, it says, now the whole world had one language and one speech. Oh, Google Maps was the name of the game, and Google Translate works, right? That's what we're dealing with now. But this is what they wanted, a one world government, right? In verse 2, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They then said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Verse 5, imagine this. Imagine this, right? Verse 5, and God going, huh. What's that down there? There's something. I've got to get a little bit closer. And God looks down. And in verse 5 it states, but the Lord came down to see the city. And he's all, oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? Look what they did. That's nice effort, guys. Nice effort. And the tower which the sons of men had built. The tower, if I were to show you a picture of it, would look very similar to the tower that we saw in the Commonwealth Games. Verse 6, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language. Notice, even in Genesis, what do we see? The Trinity of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Notice it says, let us go down. They went down and they smashed the first one world government. And it says, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. Ironically, what was their worst fear? Exactly this. And they ceased to build the city. Therefore, its name called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. Now, in the Hebrew, the word Babel means confusion. Le Babel is to confuse, because the Lord caused confusion and from there, the Lord scattered them all over the place. Now, if somebody were to be up here and be going, what do we call that? Babbling, right? Yeah, exactly. This is where we get it from. It comes right from here. Did you know that Babel became a metaphor all throughout history and in the Bible, even in the New Testament? Babylon, the actual city, the method that they would use is they conquered a group of people. They would bring them into exile, and the people would get confused. Am I a Babylonian now that we were conquered? Am I used, or am I am I from this country? I don't care. I speak a new language. I've got nice food. See, that's the past. My past identity no longer relevant to the new world order that I'm part of, which feels better and better and like progress. Babel or Babylon is kind of a new system that begins executed in end times. So, could it be religion? Could it be government? Could be anything. We saw some of this in the video, right? We saw it said, unite, written across that Tower of Babel that they had there. We see the green Ten Commandments. You see, it's the Pope, it's other religions selling out their souls, now putting forward these globalist mentalities. The people of the earth want to be one, and they're going to confuse things. They're going to confuse sexuality. They're going to confuse right from wrong in politics. They're going to confuse borders. They're going to confuse everything. It'll be upside down, and then they're going to go ahead and brag about it. In 1935, a new world order symbol appeared on the back of the U.S. dollar bill. In 1940, H.G. Wells published a book, The New World Order. The U.N. was founded in 1945. It was formerly the League of Nations before that. NATO was established in 1949. The Trilateral Commission was established in 1973. In 1995, the World Trade Organization was formed. We saw the FDA-approved VeriChip back in 2002. That almost seems archaic now. And in 2019, countries around the world increased in facial recognition, surveillance, email, texts, phone monitoring, geological data locations, and smartphones. Vehicles have GPS in them now. That's been around for a while. Credit card data, tracking information. The world knows everything about you already. They know what your interests are. And they're going to use you in order to use it against each and every one of us. But we are going to use God's word to win over Aunt Gertrude. That's what I want us to do. They say, hey, you know, I'm not so convinced. We've always had this kind of stuff. Now, I want you to thrust truth like a knife right into them, the truth of God's word, right in their front. You see, we're Christians, so we stab in the front, not in the back like the enemy would do, okay? So as we start wrapping things up here, last point, number 6. The return of the Jews to the homeland test. No one ever thought it, the return of the Jews to their homelands, could ever even happen. The Jews that everyone tried to snuff out from the face of the earth for thousands of years, they get their country back. They were coming back in the late 1800s. They were coming back in the early 1900s. And in 1948, declared their dependence. Immigration to Israel is still on the increase. It's never dropped. It's still increasing. I remember watching a documentary of a New York City cop who went ahead and immigrated over to Israel. And he was now a police officer over there. He just said there was a calling. There was something inside of him. And if we believe Ezekiel, then take a look at this. Ezekiel 37:21. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they have gone and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. If you follow up on Ezekiel, it talks about him putting his spirit in his people. Did you know that every year since its existence, ever since its rebirth in 1948, the body of Jesus within Israel, Jews coming to faith in Jesus is on the increase as well? Yeah, Doc Bramson, I love it. He likes to call himself a completed Jew. So in other words, somebody of the Jewish faith that's gone ahead and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, which is exactly what you'd expect if the prophecy were true. Truly true for today. I hope you're taking notes because this is what you're going to tell Aunt Gertrude next Christmas or the New York cabby driver who says, yo, how do we really know? Coalition of Russia, Iran, and Turkey, these are more benchmarks. These are more tests. In fact, we are in the end times. Do you see it? Can you see it? So, do you want to know what your assignment is? Thomas, if you would hand out all of the pens, make sure that everybody has a pen. I've given you the notes. I'm giving you the pen. Now, I want each and every one of you to write down the name of a non-believing friend or a family member. Do that right now. Oh, boy. What's Adam going to do? What's he going to make us do? I'm writing down this name. Non-believing friend or a family member. What is it? Has everybody done that? Has everybody written down a name? I'll wait another 2 seconds. Now, I believe that the name that you just wrote down, God is already working on this individual. Now, here's your assignment. I want you, maybe tonight, maybe when you get home, or at least by tomorrow, I want you to reach out to this non-believing friend or family member, and I want you to say this. I was thinking about you this week. I was wondering where you are in your relationship with God. Or do you even have a faith? Get them to start talking. Then go ahead and say to them, you know, I want to get your opinion on these few things. I had a study the other night, and this crazy pastor was up there, and he got up on stage, and he said all this stuff. So I just want you to go ahead and read some of the scripture with me. Would you do that? Would you do that for me? See what God does. See what he does, folks. Because think about it. If every person in this room were to go ahead and do that, we might be able to affect tens, hundreds. If there are those that are watching this live stream, maybe even thousands of people. If you have that name, put it down. Reach out to that person and say, hey, I believe that we are in the end times. I want you to look at some scriptures and see for yourself. And then see what they say. I'm going to ask Terry to go ahead and come back up. And I'm going to close the session with a challenge. We realize that there's a lot at stake in these end times. None of us wants to see a dear loved one perish, and we did nothing about it. Maybe you've got a son or a daughter, or a grandson or a granddaughter. Maybe you're even an aunt or an uncle. You got somebody. You've got a name now. What are you going to do? If you believe that we are in the end times and they don't have Jesus and you don't know where their faith stands, you've got to find a way to reach them, folks. Now, prophecy to me, if you haven't been able to tell, is exciting. It's a little scary too. But the most important thing that I pointed out tonight is the name that I just mentioned. It's the name of Jesus. That Savior that came to this earth. We just celebrated. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger. That Savior that preached to the world that salvation was only through the narrow path. The path of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That Savior that was arrested, that was crucified, and was buried and rose again from the dead in fulfillment of the scriptures 3 days later. The one, the only one who loved us so much that he would go to hell and back, literally, for you and for me. We did nothing to deserve it. We didn't earn it. Yet it's a free gift for you and me to spend eternity with him. That's how important tonight is. This is it. We're here. The clock's ticking. We don't want to be raptured while a loved one didn't hear from us. Why now? Because we're closer than we've ever been before. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would give us courage. I pray that you would give us strength and discernment. I pray that you would fill our mouths with the words that need to be said, your words that would convict the already tugging on these individual hearts. I pray that we would do this and do it quickly, for we truly are closer than we've ever been before. We thank you, we love you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.